Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A medium's past, present, and future. We've got all that covered over the next hour and change. For the past, learn about buried television treasures now viewable at The Film Detective, a new application over Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. Founder Phil Hopkins and editorial consultant Don Stradley join me next. The present and the future. A review and preview form comes later this hour, courtesy of Mr. Plumbing Insider himself, Mark Bremen. Also ahead, a big move by Megyn Kelly, Amazon enters the smart TV set space, our first classic trivia question of the week, and I'll address 80s controversy with Generation KKK. Happy 2017, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Happy into 2017, everyone. We're delighted to have you with us for our first edition of the year with the program All About Television. We've got a wonderful holiday season and start up this year. And whatever you are out to cause in 2017, we hope you cause it and a whole lot more. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the program All About Television, near midway to its 10th year on the air. Everything willing, we will celebrate that 10th anniversary this August, and we're delighted to have you with us for the ride. We promise you a very exciting year ahead, a lot of great television on and behind the screen to get to, and as always, we invite you to be part of the program. We have some wonderful guests coming your way in the next 90 minutes or so, and the way you get involved is you pick up your phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe right here on Blog Talk Radio. We also have a chat room available for you. It is at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Found at 04 is the name, and guest 926 is already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Our first guest will be live with us outside Boston after these news notes. Primetime Fox News Channel anchor person Megyn Kelly is heading to NBC News. She will have a triple play role there once her current FNC contract winds up this summer. Kelly will host a daytime news discussion hour, destination and premiere date to be determined, plus anchor a Sunday night news magazine and special event coverage. NBC confirmed its deal with Kelly earlier this afternoon without giving details over what you will earn next year. And Kelly herself also just confirmed the move through a Facebook post, giving thanks in passing to her current FNC colleagues. Amazon will have a smart TV set space this spring. Amazon's Fire TV technology and distributed applications will be incorporated into smart ultra-definition sets built and marketed by Seiki, Westinghouse, and Element. Millions of consumers already use Fire TV brand set-tops, sticks, and plugins to get all sorts of apps, including Twitter, Kindle eBooks, Orbit, and The Film Detective, the subject of our interview segment this afternoon. These sets will be showcased in public at CES in Las Vegas starting Thursday morning. Turnout expected, nearly 20,000 visitors. Separately, Amazon Studios will bring The Man in the High Castle back for a third season, late 2017 or 2018. Eric Obermeyer of Tomei and Bosch fame will be the new executive producer. And a long-awaited sequel to the historic natural history miniseries Planet Earth with David Attenborough has reset its BBC market debut to February 18th. The original date was going to be January 28th. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us, our first guest of 2017, live from Rockport, Massachusetts, outside Boston, the founder and editor consultant of The Film Detective, available on Amazon Fire TV, Roku, and Apple TV for the last month. We welcome aboard Phil Hopkins and Don Stradley. Phil and Don, Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, son.
Thank you, thank you. Pleasure to have you both on as our first guest of the year. Phil, how have people taken to The Film Detective so far?
Very well, thank you. We've very cautiously launched into this new platform called the OTT world. We've been monitoring it for several years as content providers to other famous platforms, and we've been seeing the shift with the industry. Of course, you just mentioned a big bit of news that we're involved with, which is the Amazon Fire TV, along with the Amazon television debut with their TV set at CES. So the idea of having content and owning content and being able to build your brand with all these new streaming initiatives is very exciting for us and for fans of classic content, because we're able to immediately pay attention to what's going on in the industry and make editorial changes a lot sooner than programmers can make in linear and terrestrial TV can.
Don, what was the idea behind not only including film content in your app, but also TV content?
Well, in my mind, in a way, it's all television, because the movies that we're trying to restore and preserve and bring to a new audience, their lives were extended by television. Whether it was the Bowery Boys or old Frankenstein movies or old Westerns or Flash Gordon, these old movies were seen on television for the most part during the 60s and 70s and part of the 80s. When people say that they're fans of these old movies, 90% of the time they saw them on television. So to me, everything that we're trying to do is kind of television-oriented.
You were mentioning the Body Boys just now, Don, and still a lot of people in New York remember that back in the 60s and 70s, they would be thought of as a television series, even though it was a major film series that ran like an hour or so as a semi, not exactly short subject in movie theaters. But it was in the 60s and 70s, for example, that they would run as East Side Comedy on Channel 5, WWTV here in New York, on a Saturday afternoon at 2:30 for years.
Oh, completely. We had a similar thing here in Boston on several of the stations. So if you're of the age to remember the days of Joe Franklin and WOR and syndicated classic packages that went off to the various channels across the country, this is the audience. I think that if you look at what's going on with broadcasters like MeTV, Antenna TV, the nostalgia audience that is really what we're serving has such an enormous appetite for this type of old nostalgia.
I want to welcome guest 931 into our chat room. Happy New Year to you. Delighted you're aboard. If you have a question or comment for our guest, put it in the chat room at SimonApple04 by name, or give us a call 646-652-2906. And if you're listening to our program for the very first time, this is the show all about television, where the medium is and where it's going. And our stock and trade is bringing you, among other things, live, exclusive, and extended interviews with the people like Phil and Don making the medium happen. In this case, with an app called The Film Detective that's been around now for about a month, available on your smart TV set or smart device through Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and Apple TV. Don, how do you sort these movies and TV shows out? Where do you go to get them?
You want to take that one, Phil?
Well, I think mainly we have an archive of 3,000 titles that we've collected and amassed over the years, and these range from old syndication prints that were discarded by the TV stations, and we're also an archive that takes on historic film, and we preserve film and also return it back to major archives like the Library of Congress or UCLA or other proper archives that have long-term plans to keep film around for many years after we're long gone. So we have several collectors. We have a network of different archives that we work with, and more importantly, we curate based on what we get access to. So unlike major studios, we have a niche that we really fill going after titles that are less sort of celebrated and a little more sort of in the esoteric land that don't get the proper attention that you would want to give them on regular linear or terrestrial TV that we can take a chance on with OTT, because quite frankly, we're trying to curate stuff that doesn't really have a lot of places to go on cable TV right now.
Mm-hmm. And one of our missions was to present these movies in a way that's reminiscent of an old Boston program that Phil and I used to watch when we were kids. It was on WSBK TV, It was called the Movie Loft, and it was hosted by a local personality named Dana Hersey. And if you grew up in Boston during that period, Dana Hersey was always the voice of WSBK. And when Phil and I were first kicking around ideas about 2 years ago, we thought, wouldn't it be great to get Dana Hersey involved in the Film Detective, and he could introduce our movies the way he used to do it on the Movie Loft. So local people in Boston will get an additional kick out of what we're doing, because they're gonna hear it the way Dana Hersey used to deliver it on Channel 38.
Don, how many titles are played in a given month?
Oh, on our Roku channel and all that?
On your app, yeah, on your app.
What is it, about 25 or so?
No, it's more than that. What we're trying to do is to not overwhelm people. We're not looking to have hundreds of titles up because there's a real content fatigue out there. So we're looking to have between 50 to 100 titles that get cycled and refreshed. And again, as Don mentioned, we try to do editorial on all the movies as much as possible. So we do have contextual content where we have an introduction to the movies and give some historic background. And we also have some original programming. One of the first titles that is live is a film called The Outlaw, and that's the great Howard Hughes movie. And we've done a documentary on that movie, which talks about the challenges that they had getting that released into theaters. So we're celebrating a lot of the titles in our library, and then we're also celebrating actors. We just did a tribute to Kirk Douglas for his 100th birthday. And these are original productions that we'll be continuing to produce over the next several months, and hopefully as we continue to build an audience, do a lot more of that.
The Film Detective is the app we're talking about. It's been available for the last month for smart TV sets and smart devices through Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV. If you mentioned our news, we mentioned that near the top of the hour that Amazon Fire TV is going to become a set TV feature to a couple of makers this spring. We've got the people behind the Film Detective with us, Bill Hopkins, the creator, and Don Spradley, the editor and consultant. They're both with us from Rockport, Massachusetts, outside Boston this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, our first episode of the Film Robot Television for 2017. Simon Applebaum down the road from them here in New York. Have a great, great time with us. And if you're with us, want to get a question or comment in, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or you go to chat room, Simon Apple 04, and we'll get 931 and 929 into the room. Star, the series from the Creators of Empire, premieres tomorrow night on Fox and Friday on Tomorrow Televised. We will have an exclusive interview and a lead interview with that with its executive producer, Tom Dinagi. I believe it will be his first major interview since Star premiered with a special screening last month on Fox. That's Tom Dinagi, executive producer of Stars, live and exclusive with us Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So, you have already a number of interesting buried TV treasures. And perhaps the most interesting is one that I did not know about, and maybe a lot of people didn't know about either, until you came out with a press release about your app, and that is the only television pilot that was made by perhaps the grandest schlockmeister of movies himself, Ed Wood.
Indeed we do, and that was a very interesting item for us to find that was available. We found out about it last year when we were at the NAPTE convention, which is where a lot of the TV stations go to look for content for their programming slate. And we were there last year. We actually made the announcement for the Film Detective at NAPTE last year. And one of the archives that we came across told us about this lost Ed Wood TV pilot called Final Curtain. We had only heard about it through different collectors and didn't really know that a copy was in existence. And lo and behold, last year we were pitched having exclusive rights to that title, even though it was never picked up by any television network. Just like all the other things that Ed Wood did in his life, he was relentless, and without any budget or any commitment to have anything financed, he went ahead and made this pilot, which very few people got to see. It wasn't until it was discovered several years ago that it was debuted at a film convention called Slam Dance. They actually screened it 2 years ago at a film convention called Slam Dance. And we've since restored it, and we have it teed up for a February release. And it's a very interesting. If you're familiar with any of Ed Wood's movies, you'll find this to be similar, but also a little more interesting in the way that it was something like The Outer Limits or The Twilight Zone. He was going after something like that.
Philip Don, who considered this pilot for television? I mean, at that time, you had either three networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, or you had syndication, the likes of a ZIV or another major distributor. Did it go anywhere? I mean, was there at some point serious consideration to put Edward on television?
No, he never got to that point. Ed Wood was getting to a point where he had run out of all of his resources. He had pretty much tried every avenue he could, and then it was shortly thereafter that he was relegated to writing almost pulp-type books that were sold into these titillation sort of bookstores about different scenarios. He was not really given the due respect until years later when they released that Golden Turkey Award that touted him to be the worst filmmaker of all time. And then through an ironic twist of fate, he became known again. And then, of course, with the great Ed Wood biopic that was made, that really put him into the forefront again as far as cult movies go. But sadly, in his lifetime, he never got to appreciate how important he was as a independent filmmaker and someone who was just relentlessly passionate about making films.
Mm-hmm. Don, another TV treasure that you've uncovered, a very different kind, is the Howdy Doody syndicated series that was made with Buffalo Bob Smith and crew for syndication in the 1970s. That I mentioned WAW Channel 5. They ran it as a Monday through Friday afternoon show.
Yeah, the rebirth of Howdy Doody was sort of a mixed blessing. On the one hand, it was fun that Howdy and Buffalo Bob and the gang were brought back, but the downside was that they really didn't know how to present it for a 1970s audience. The big problem, well, there were many problems, but the two main problems were the size of the stage was about five times bigger than it had been in the 50s, and that created problems with the technical crew and also the cast and the puppeteers. They didn't know how to work on such a big stage. And the other problem was the producers of the show. They had this dumb idea that it shouldn't just be for kids, so they were trying to write jokes that were for the parents as well. So you'll see the show and you'll think that there's something a little uneven in it. That some of the jokes are aimed at the parents and some of the jokes are aimed at the kids, and this drove the writers of the show crazy because they didn't know who they should be talking to. But what remained of the Howdy Doody magic is just that the puppets look great. Clarabelle was still funny. Buffalo Bob was still the genial host that we all knew and loved from back in the 50s. So there are elements of the show that still stood up during the 70s, but it was kind of a mixed bag. We think it's great, and we think it looks great, too, with the color.
I saw an episode, too, when it ran in syndication on Channel 5, and one of the big problem was for the syndicators, it was the fact that a lot of stations did not play the show where it was intended, which was supposed to be an afternoon, daytime program where kids and poppy parents could watch, go between 3 and 6 p.m. Some stations played it late at night. Some stations played it overnight. A lot of stations around the country, including major market stations, did not promote the show at all. So it was a very mixed bag, and after like 70, 75 episodes, it just ran one season, and that was it.
Right. Actually, now that you mention that, I remember that in the Boston area, it ran at night, which was silly.
Phil and Don, are there any other buried TV treasures or TV shows that have not been seen in a very long time that you'd be bringing to your app soon?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of the things that we're excited to bring back is we're going to be mining the archive for Groucho Marx's You Bet Your Life. And that was on, of course, when we were kids into syndication. NBC had re-released it as the Best of Groucho in the 1970s. We're going to be going back to the original release prints of as many episodes as we can come up with and try to get that ready for sometime this spring. And there's even a couple of episodes of a very rare show that George Fetterman hosted called Anyone Can Play, which has never been seen.
That's a great coup. You know, George Fetterman, a lot of people don't remember, was also a game show host. He had also done a show back in the early 60s called Your Surprise Package on CBS, which ran about a year. And
a great straight man and great announcer.
Yeah, he was a terrific straight man, great announcer, of course. Many know him as the off-camera voice of Dragnet and other shows. Hoppy also may know that he also did a pilot for a series called Cross Words that later became the long-running syndicated show The Crosswits with Jack Clark. But Fetterman did two film pilots, and Jerry Payne, who was the original creator of The Crosswits, actually put that original Crosswords show together. So he and then when Crosswits came on, I think in 1975, with Ralph Edwards producing it, was stayed on with the show and did quite well.
And one of the other properties that we're really trying to come up with some way to get back into circulation is the Ralph Edwards classic, This Is Your Life.
Now, what was the status of him? He's passed on, but he still has his production company still around, of course, doing People's Court.
That's right. His production company is still running, very active. They're still an active entity, and the This Is Your Life episodes, some of the great ones, of course, you know, with Milton Berle, Jay Mansfield, Bobby Darin, Johnny Cash, Laurel and Hardy. I mean, these have not been seen for many years, and we're right now in talks with them about getting this rebooted into the new OTT and potentially some additional broadcast linear deals for 2017.
The Film Detective is now available on smart TV sets and devices such as Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV. And we've got the people responsible for it this half hour on Smart. We televise live from Rockport, Massachusetts, outside Boston. That's creator Phil Hopkins and the air source consultant Don Stradley. They're with us live on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us. And happy 2017 to you and all. If you have a question or comment for our guest and the guest upcoming in our next half hour, give us the ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0498. Easy Rider was in the room momentarily, plus guest 929 and 931. We'll have three episodes for you coming up next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all at this hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. And coming up on Monday, Beyond is the new series that premiered on Freeform last night. It's the first original series of the year. We've got the creator, executive producer on Monday, is our lead guest, Adam Nussdorf. And then, back with us, actually, what we scheduled from last month, we've got the director of product management at Roku, now on his way to CES in Las Vegas. That's Lloyd Clark. So Lloyd Clark from Roku will join us. We'll get his thoughts about CES and about the news that Roku is making as well. That's Lloyd Clark from Roku and Adam Nussdorf from Beyond on Freeform. That's Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. There were some films that, like TV shows, that have been lost or considered like unplayable for decades. They can be running in the next few months.
Well, some of the ones that we're excited about, we have many films that a lot of people would be familiar with, such as the Howard Hawks film, His Girl Friday is going to be coming out next month, along with a great little curio that Cary Grant also starred in, which was a British movie called The Amazing Adventure. But some of the lesser-known films that you're not really seeing in circulation are really the ones that we like to call action to as far as these titles that we're putting out on Blu-ray. We're also restoring them. And one of these films that probably hasn't been seen that many times, if at all, in the past 30 years, is a Ron Van Cleef movie called The Black Dragon's Revenge, and we're very excited about that. We just did a big restoration off of the original camera negative, and those were back in the days when martial arts movies were really in vogue. Bruce Lee had just passed away, and there was this whole sort of culture of make-believe Bruce Lee movies, like that were not really Bruce Lee. This film is about the avenging the death of Bruce Lee, and Ron Van Cleef is sort of the real protagonist. He's going there to find out who was responsible for it, and it's somewhere between a blaxploitation film and a martial arts film, and we're very excited about that one. Again, it's coming out on Blu-ray later this month as well, so that's one of the titles we can definitely say we're looking forward to.
In the meantime, you can check out what is currently available on the Film Defective through Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku. And if you want to find out more about this app, as well as a complete schedule of upcoming titles, here's where you go online, www.thefilmdetective.tv. That's www.thefilmdetective.tv. And of course, among the current attractions of the new Honey Duty show and that Ed Wood pilot being seen on television for the very first time since it was made. Phil Hopkins, the creator, and Don Straley, the intro consultant of The Film Detective, thank you both very much for being with us. Congratulations on getting your site off the ground and the way people have been reacting over the first month. And a very happy new year to both of you. We'd love to have you back on with more great treasure talk when you get it.
Well, thank you very much, Simon, and happy new year to you, and thanks so much for having us on today.
It has been a pleasure,
Simon.
Phil and Don. All the greatest. You got it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Phil Hopkins, Don Straley, from The Film Detective, joining us live from Rockport, Massachusetts, outside Boston. Our contributing question of the week comes your way after some thoughts from the fine people at Audible.com. You know, if you're looking for a wonderful post-holiday gift to give to people or yourself, how about this? A 30-day trial to Audible.com. It's Amazon.com's wonderful world of spoken audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. And one of the titles you can get was a big bestseller this past fall, Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen, and he narrates it in the audiobook form. It's a great way to start your year, and the great thing about Audible.com is it has a fantastic selection of wonderful spoken entertainment information for you. Over 180,000 titles to choose from at any given time, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook like Born to Run for Bruce Springsteen, and a one-month trial of the service. And remember, given that Audible is from Amazon, the customer service is top of the universe. So get a great gift for yourself this year if you haven't done so already. Audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com, a great way to hear great sound. And now it's time for our Clapperturity Question of the Week. And if you're new to the program, here's the way it works. We give you the question. If you know the answer, email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and your full mailing address. And if you are first with the correct answer, you will win the brand-new book, Britcoms FAQ, all about the world of British comedies, classic and present, from Applause Books. Here's the question. In what state is Twin Peaks located? In what state is Twin Peaks located? Don't forget Twin Peaks, the classic 1990s ABC mystery series from David Lynch and Mark Frost, is coming back this year on Showtime with this year's Frost and Lynch writing all the episodes, Lynch directing many of the original cast members, including Colin McLaughlin involved. And if you haven't heard, there may be a possible screening at the Sundance Film Festival later this month in Utah. Not confirmed yet, but there are rumors to that effect. Once again, the question, in what state is Twin Peaks located? You know the answer? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and your full name and address. You can also use Twitter to get the answer in. Use the hashtag TWBT. That's Twitter, hashtag TWBT. The Twitter option is made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite you to create your own social soundtrack. And you can learn how to do that at hopscotch.com, www.hopscotch.com. And if you just came in and missed the question, no problem. I will post it tomorrow morning on my own Facebook page and at my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So give it a go. Who knows? On Friday's episode, you might be our first winner of 2017. All the very best. This is Tomorrow We Televised. We are the program All About the Tube. We're only with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We will have 3 episodes for you next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And coming up on Wednesday's episode, we will have our lead guest, the key executive producers with Norman Lear behind Netflix's revival of One Day at a Time, which premieres this Friday to rave reviews. We've got the executive producers Mike Royce and Gloria Conrad Kellett. And Mike Royce, by the way, was on the show several years ago when he was executive producing the Peabody Award-winning TNT series Men of a Certain Age with Ray Romano, Scott Bakula, and Andre Braugher. The executive producers of One Day at a Time, which premieres this Friday on Netflix, they are live with us 1 week from tomorrow. That's Wednesday, January 11th, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. When we come back, we're going to dive into what Tracy you're watching in 2017. We'll look back at 2062 with one of our favorite guests, Mr. Plumbing Insider himself, Mark Bremen. He joins me here in New York after we talk at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Key of the Unplugged show. Check out some wild and wacky entertainment with Key of the and crew Mondays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, you can catch the best of BTR anytime at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Show Live, our third episode of 2017. We are live from New York here on Blog Talk Radio. Simon Applebaum here with you. Delighted to have you with us. We had a wonderful Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa vacation, and we're happy to have you aboard for a new year of the program All About Television. If you have a question or comment for our guests ahead, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers get anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Chat room is still open, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. Guest 929 still in the room. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we get you involved because what you say matters. And speaking of a person who says definitely matters, it is a pleasure to welcome back to this program, among our first guests of the year, Mr. Plumbing Insider himself, live from New York, Mark Bremen. Mark, Happy New Year. Welcome back in.
Happy New Year to you. How are you doing?
Very, very well, thank you. And already we've been very busy diving into 2017. Of course, the big story of the day, Megyn Kelly moving to NBC. What's your early thoughts about that?
Well, I'm not surprised that she's leaving Fox News. This has been going on for months now. Speculation has been running rampant that she was going to leave. I wouldn't have picked NBC as my first choice for her to leave to, but I think for NBC this could be a very good thing.
And could we benefit not just NBC but MSNBC, because you have this three-part deal: daytime news, information, discussion hour, Sunday night news magazine once a week, and then the breaking news or special event coverage. What we don't know is how it's all going to work out. We know their contract is up, she's FNC in the summer, but we don't know about when or where this daytime news hour is going to go, and also Sunday news magazine hour. I would think off the bat that the Sunday news magazine would probably appear in January after Sunday Night Football.
Could be. And we also don't know exactly when this she's going to go over to NBC. I don't think they've said exactly. They haven't given us any details when she is starting there. But there's so many different options here, and you have to look at NBC at the moment. They're in pretty good shape with the news division. Today is solid. Suddenly, nightly news, we're way past the Brian Williams scandal. Everything has settled down nicely. Dateline kind of chugs along. So to bring Megyn Kelly in, there's a lot they can do with her. However, one thing I want you to remember, which is important, Megyn Kelly sat down. She did that primetime special on Fox last spring, and the ratings were abysmal. Nobody really cared. She had Donald Trump on, and nobody cared. So it's not a given that she's going to really do all that well on NBC, but there's a good chance that she will.
Which network do you think is in the best shape going into 2017?
It's always CBS. They're always in the best shape. And the bottom line with CBS is, for years they've built consistency. They have ingredients across the across the nights of the week. I'm not going to say Saturday, but they have successful components across six nights of the seven nights of the week. They're always in the best shape. They've got solid dramas. They've got comedy. They've got 60 Minutes. They're in the best shape. So as always, CBS will win the season of total viewers, hands down. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens, of course, because you don't have Sunday Night Football anymore. That's going to be interesting with NBC to see what happens.
Incidentally, one more thing about football. Last night we had something historic happen, which was ESPN and ESPN2 doing dueling bowl games. The Rose Bowl game, which went way over, one of the best bowl games or bowl games you'll ever see in your life, which USC won 52-49 on a last-second field goal, off an interception by Penn State. And what happened was the game ran so overtime that ESPN had to make a call where they put the Sugar Bowl, which was supposed to start at 8:20. They decided, let's do it on ESPN2. So for 40 minutes until 9:30 last night, you had this back-and-forth Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl. We don't know yet the ratings for it, but I do know that the combined ABC, NBC, CBS rating was 19 share, which I think was down from the previous year. But I'm curious if more people did not catch that. I think that was one of the most, first time ever that two major bowl games of that caliber were on opposite each other.
That's very, that's interesting. You know, that's a definitely interesting observation. Definitely. I mean, last night was a very, very big night of television. It also, you know, last night was, you know, on the broadcast networks. What was interesting, you had The Bachelor opposite Celebrity Apprentice, and there was, you know, a lot of curiosity. How was Celebrity Apprentice going to do without Donald Trump and with Arnold Schwarzenegger? And it did okay. It wasn't great. It didn't beat The Bachelor, but that was interesting last night on the broadcast networks.
Plus, you also have the new LeBron James game show, The Wall, which is also on tonight, too, in its regular 8 p.m. time period.
Right, right. I mean, you know, The Wall, I mean, the ratings are not solid. They're not terrible. They're kind of in the middle. And it could be used as a show to step in if they need, you know, fix a time period. You know, and obviously, you know, we just got through a period of the holiday season, a lot of repeats, a lot of holiday specials. And now we're heading into a midseason, which I'm excited about. I'm hoping to see some new hit shows, I hope.
Yeah, well, me too. It seems to me that there's two big things to watch out for this year. One is, again, the mess of scripted television is going to pop up all over the place. Broadcast, cable, multicast, stream networks, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera. And it looks like we may get 500 scripted original series for the first time. We had 455 last year. But also, you have the smart TV set, smart device deal, and we mentioned at the top of the show that Amazon Fire TV is now going to be incorporated in TV sets, and it just seems that millions of people are now using this as the way, these devices and these sets as the way to watch Netflix through Amazon, and that's giving them more momentum to create more shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the amazing thing about, you know, that figure you mentioned, you know, 500 shows, you go back just nine years ago. I mean, this is like we have more than double that was on way back when. 130 of these shows next year are expected on the digital outlets. But I think what's happening is, you know, the term right now is peak TV, and we have more original scripted shows on the air than ever before. It concerns me a lot because I think we're kind of losing focus here. It's impossible to keep up with all these shows. People like you and I who do this for a living, who watch TV and write about it, we can't keep up with all of this. The average TV viewer can't. And I think a lot of the product gets diluted. You know, it's interesting. When you look at the Emmy Awards, like last year, a lot of people wrote about the Emmys in September that the ratings were down. And they keep going down. I think one of the reasons is that people are not familiar with all the shows being nominated. They don't see all these shows. So I think at some point this bubble is going to burst. And, you know, we can't keep getting more and more shows because if it stayed at this level in a couple of years, we're going to have 700 shows on the air. It's too much.
Well, what do you say to people who think, well, you know, maybe TV is becoming like a library? If a library can hold thousands and thousands of books and libraries are still, after centuries, still around, then why can't TV have such a voluminous number of original series, especially when you have so many people producing shows, so many ways to get a show on the air? You have ways like equity crowdfunding. You have diversity going, kicking into the mix. It just seems that everyone is set in their ways that we are going to see an expanded viewing universe.
Well, you know what, though? But here's the thing. There's just so many hours in a week to watch television. And, you know, obviously there's two components. There's two sets of people out there. There are the people that think that broadcast television is fine and it's not going to have any problem in the future. And then there are people that think that it's all about digital consumption and we're only going to be consuming content digitally in the future, which I don't believe is going to be true. But the issue is there's just too much to watch. And with so much to watch, you can't catch everything. And I think a lot of it gets lost in the shuffle, which is all the more reason why you really have to commend a show like This Is Us on NBC for really standing out in all this clutter. It really, really stood out and made a difference. And, it, you know, it's the biggest new hit series that we've seen on a broadcast network in quite some time. But, you know, at some point you have to say to yourself, there's just too much of this. It takes away from the overall experience. And you know what? I personally think that the experience of watching a TV show is like This Is Us. I watch it on Tuesday night. If I'm not home that Tuesday, I DVR it. I'll watch it another night, you know, that week. But to sit down and watch, you know, go to a digital outlet and watch all episodes of This Is Us in one sitting, I feel like it takes away from the whole experience, because the idea to me is you want to watch a show, you look forward to the next episode, you look forward to the next episode. By sitting there and watching the whole season in one sitting, I feel like the whole experience is not the same.
Mark Berman is the editor-in-chief of the Pro League Insider. If you want to find out what's going on in television, it's a great place to go. And Mark joins us live here in New York this half hour on Tamari Televised, our first episode of 2017. Simon Applebaum live with you from New York on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment for Mark, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. We want to hear you because what you say matters. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. It's 934 is in the room. The new series from Empire's producer Star premieres tomorrow night on Fox. And Friday on Tamari Televised, Tom Kanagi, one of the key executive producers, will be my lead guest. It's Tom Kanagi from Starz. I believe this is his first major interview since Starz premiere back in with a screening, special preview screening in December. He'll be with us live exclusively right here on Tamari Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You mentioned that you are very excited about this 2017. Let's dig deeper into that, Mark. What particular shows, new shows coming, are you excited about?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. On the broadcast networks right now, there really is nothing that I'm overly excited about. I'm curious about Riverdale on the CW. I've seen it. For anybody, Riverdale is based on the iconic characters from the Archie comic book series. For anybody of a certain age that's expecting to see the old Archie comic books on the CW, that's not what you're going to get. It's one of those kind of like dark, trendy type murder mystery dramas featuring Archie, Reggie, and the gang. I'm curious to see if that sparks any interest on the CW. I'm not necessarily sure it will. Obviously, I'm curious about 24 Legacy on Fox. That's coming back. That's going to preview on Sunday, February 5th at 10 p.m. Then it moves to Monday. This is the first time we're going to have 24 without Kiefer Sutherland. So you kind of have to ask yourself, is it smart doing 24 without Kiefer Sutherland? And it's actually subtitled Legacy. It's 24 Legacy. I'm excited for ABC. ABC is having a terrible season. I'm excited over the fact that Scandal is coming back on Thursday. I think we all missed that show. And I think putting him after Grey's Anatomy will be a seamless flow, and that will help How to Get Away with Murder. So I'm excited about that. I'm very curious about Emerald City on NBC. That's, you know, kind of like the adaptation sort of The Wizard of Oz. I think it's an interesting thing. It's airing Friday at 9 p.m. effective this week. So I'll be curious to see if anybody watches it. I hope they will. Other than that, I mean, there's not anything that, you know, I remember like in the summer as we were heading into the fall season, I was really, really excited about This Is Us. I thought it was something that we have not seen on our broadcast network pretty much since 30-something in the 1980s. I think they nailed it. So I don't really have that, you know, not really all that excited about anything coming up. I'm hopeful. I would like to see 24 Legacy succeed. I would like to see Scandal obviously come back and do well. I would love to see Emerald City get an audience. And then this, you just mentioned, you know, I'm against. I don't think, you know, taking a show like Empire off the air for 3 months and giving it a rest, I don't think that's a good ingredient for the long-term success of a show. But I'll be curious to see what happens with it, you know, tomorrow, if it's going to, you know, if it's going to spark any interest in place of Empire. It got some sampling, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
I saw the screening here in New York, and I was very interested in how, and as I mentioned, Tom Kanagi, the co-executive with Lee Daniels, will be on the show on our program Friday. I'm curious to see how they put the show together, how it is like Empire and how it's not. I think this, when people didn't see the first episode, it was preview screen last month on Fox, and you said got a lot of sampling. I thought Queen Latifah was wonderful. You got Benjamin Bratt, who's always good in anything, and you have these three women in the lead roles. I think all of them could be stars if this show takes off. I think they're all very talented. It goes in very interesting directions. Some of the supporting cast is wonderful. I'm really curious to see, you know, how they want to keep the momentum of that first episode going.
It's not going to be easy to do. You know, it's a hard act to follow Empire. But, you know, I think Fox has made a pivotal mistake with Empire. They, you know, they did it last year. They're doing it now. As I just said, I think when you take a show off the air and you give it a three-month hiatus, I think you're hurting the momentum. I think it's a very bad idea, and I don't think the network should do it. But they continually do it. They don't seem to understand that. I think it's a mistake. But we'll see what happens. But, you know, they were smart. It comes, you know, comes from the creator of Empire. It has the same mentality. It makes sense to kind of put something similar appeal on, but I just don't think breaking up a season is a smart thing to do.
You mentioned, Mark, that this is made it on NBC because of a very distinctive show. There was nothing like it in terms of its tone, its style, and so forth. And one of the things I think that's really come out this season has been we're seeing more of these half-hour programs that are unclassifiable. You can't call them straight drama. You can't call them straight comedy. I'm putting shows like Atlanta, which is my pick for the best new series of the year, of last year, Donald Glover's show for FX, Pamela Adlon's Better Things, People of Earth, and Search Party on TBS. I thought TBS had a fantastic year last year. All their shows made it. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee also, which I wish people would stop calling a late-night show. It's not. It's a 10:30 show. It's prime time, and a very good prime time show at that. And I have a sense we're going to see more of these like unclassifiable shows that keep you watching because you never know where they're going to turn.
Exactly. You know, I mean, the one thing about TV, you don't want it to feel the same. You don't want to see, you know, you want to shake up the mix. You don't want to just have the typical generic sitcoms and crime solvers and all that. So, yeah, I think it's a very smart thing to kind of, you know, kind of create your own rules and do it your own way, which is why, you know, Atlanta is really doing well right now. I mean, I think that's a big hit for FX. So they're looking good with that, you know. But, I mean, unfortunately, you know, a lot of the upcoming shows, a lot of the current shows, particularly on the broadcast networks, remain very cookie-cutter. You know, sometimes cookie-cutter sells. You know, people know what they're going to get. They know what they to expect. And they'll watch it. But then again, as I said, you put something on that really dares to be different, like This Is Us. You do, you know, and you can potentially strike a chord. So I'm excited. You know, that's a very big thing for the broadcast networks, having that show. It's a very big success for them.
One of the things that I think may be interesting to watch is going to be Nashville, which is moving from ABC to CMT, Country Music Television.
Yes.
Now owned by Viacom. And it's a two-hour season premiere. And guess who's now heading that project up? The former creators of 30-something, Marshall Hirschwitz and Edward Zwick, who
yes.
have gone their separate ways in film. They're coming back to television for this. I think it would be very interesting to see, A, the audience reaction, and, B, the fact that it's on a cable network and a network like CMT.
Well, you know what? It's not the first time a cable network has stepped up to the plate to save a show that was canceled. I think it's a very smart move to CMT. You know, Nashville was never a hit by the traditional ratings on ABC. It's certainly not going to get the same audience that ABC had. It's going to be smaller, without a doubt. But for an outlet like CMT, this could give them a lot of clout. I mean, I would have to assume it's going to do a lot better than anything they currently have running. And it was a quality show. It had a solid but small fan base. And I think for CMT, it was the absolutely right maneuver.
What do you see as your possibility for a sleeper show this year?
Possibility for a new show coming up that's a sleeper?
Sleeper show. A show that we're not talking about now that could really fly.
You know, that's a very good question. I'm going to have to say, this is a long shot because I just don't really think it's going to do all that well, but it could be Emerald City on NBC. It's completely different than anything we've seen. It's completely, you know, they're putting it in the Grimm time period. They're moving Grimm to 8 o'clock. Which never had a huge audience by the numbers, but it had a cult following. You know, my gut tells me it's probably not going to work, but I'm hoping that it gets sampled because I think it's worth watching. I'm excited about that show. I think 24 Legacy is going to do pretty well for Fox. I don't think it's going to do what 24 was doing way back when, but I think for that network, they're not having a good season. And I think for them that could be a possibility. And then, you know, it's interesting that Fox is bringing back Prison Break. I always thought that was a show that exited, you know, too prematurely. So I'm hopeful that that does well, although that you can't really call that a new show. So we'll see, you know, we'll see where that goes. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, it's always interesting. It's easy to predict, or it's kind of fun to predict, but you never really do know what's going to happen. I'm curious. You know what show I'm curious about? The revival of One Day at a Time on Netflix. I was a very big fan of the original. I'm not a supporter of all these remakes. I don't necessarily think it's the smartest thing, but I'm curious about this because I don't think it's going to do anywhere near as well as Fuller House is doing. But remember, this is a different cast, a different, you know, it's kind of the premise, but it's different people. Fuller House is the same people. So I'm curious to see what One Day at a Time is going to look like in present day.
Me too, Mark. As I mentioned, we're going to have the key executive producers that are working with Norman Lear on this, Gloria Calderon-Kellett and Mike Royce, who did a wonderful series for TNT several years ago called Men of a Certain Age, who was on this program when we did that show, which won the Peabody Award. And I've heard a lot of great revamped reviews. People, critics who have seen this show think it is very, very good with its cast, with its writing style. It is, of course, historic because it brings Norman Lear back to television in a regular role. We had him on the show in November. It was one of the best, I think, interviews I've ever done with anybody, and one of the real highlights, not just of this program, but also 36-plus years of covering television. And I'm really excited about this show on Friday and where it's going to go. I'm also curious about Shock Fire. Speaking of Fox, Shock Fire, their miniseries coming up with the Blythewoods producing it and what looks like a really good cast. But one, I think, sleeper, going back to the original question, I think keep your eye on BET for two projects that are coming out this month. One is the new edition miniseries, which I've seen some clips of. This might surprise a lot of people. And if you're a fan of that group, you might want to tune in on this. And the other is a new, their first scripted drama series in quite a while called The Quad, starring a really wonderful actress named McKinney Nani Rowe. You've seen her all over the place. It's about a black college dean. It's the first TV series I know of that a scripted series dealing with life on a historically black college. This could be a very big sleeper, and this could propel, I think, BET to do more original scripted television.
You know what? You know, another sleeper, another potential sleeper on PBS. I'm curious about Victoria. You know, that's starting on January 15th, and obviously PBS is in need of a replacement for Downton Abbey, which was an absolute blockbuster for them. I'm not anticipating the same kind of level of success as Downton Abbey, but I think the audience, you know, accustomed to what, you know, watching the period pieces on PBS, I don't think they'll be disappointed.
Mr. Probing Insider, the wonderful Mark Berman is with us this half hour on Tomorrow's Show, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Simon Applebaum, also with you from NYC. If a question or comment for Mark, don't be shy. Put your voice to the phone and get it in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0489. Our very good friend, Rick Webb from Philadelphia, is already in the room. And as I mentioned, 1 week from tomorrow, our lead guest on our program will be the executive producers working with Norman Lear on that Netflix revival of One Day at a Time. Gloria Calderon-Kellett and Mike Royce. They are with us live, and they'll be our lead guests 1 week from tomorrow, Wednesday, January 11th, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. I'm looking forward to that episode very, very much. Mark, before we wrap, let's do a little rapid fire about 2016. You mentioned earlier that your best in series of the year was This Is Us on NBC. That's my best broadcast series. I mentioned the best overall for me was Atlanta. Worst series or worst project of last year?
I'm sorry, so I didn't hear the question.
Worst TV program or worst TV project
of
2016?
Oh, the worst. Oh, my goodness. Oh, there were so many clinkers last year. What was the worst? I, you know what? I hate to say it because I watched it. I actually sat and binge-watched, although I haven't seen the second season. I have to go with Fuller House. I just thought, you know, everything that I expected was there. I'm not necessarily saying that's a terrible thing, but oh, my goodness, you know, oh, my Lanta and all the catchphrases and I just thought it was a train wreck. But listen, for Netflix, it was a huge success. I could see that thing running, you know, forever. So I have to go with Fuller House. I'm sorry to say it. I watched it. My kids, particularly my girls, love it. But, yeah, it was pretty bad. There were a number of runner-ups, though, I have to tell you. I'll tell you what I was really disappointed with. American Horror Story Roanoke. I thought the beginning of the season was outstanding. I tuned in. I was scared to watch it. And then ultimately they shifted gears, made it a show within a show. Ultimately, by the end of the season, I didn't know what the hell happened. I do want to say one thing. You didn't ask me, but I think Most Improved, I initially thought American Housewife was going to be a train wreck. I mean, pilot episode, there's a kid throwing up, the father sitting on the toilet, the kid walks in. I'm like, oh, my God, I want to watch this. But you know what? It's a really good show. I really enjoy it. I think she does an excellent job, Katie Mixon.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, you did a Netflix. I have an Amazon. My pick for the worst TV series of project of last year was Crisis in 16 on Amazon. Woody Allen just did not have the heart, and it showed. And it really is a shame because I think Amazon did make the right call by giving Woody Allen a chance to do his first television series ever, and there was so much expectation for
right.
it, and it just bombed. And it really is a shame. I don't fault Amazon. Give Amazon credit for it. I just think the case was Woody Allen just didn't care. Just did not care.
I agree.
And it just showed up on that. No.
And let me throw I'll throw one more in the mix. It's not scripted. Robin China. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Please, enough with these Kardashians. Please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Most underappreciated series of 2016. A show that you liked that didn't get the appreciation or the respect of critics or journalists or people.
What was a show that I like? You know what? I have to go with a veteran show. I've been saying this for a long time. I'm going to say it again. The Middle on ABC. This is a show. It's in its eighth season. It never got any attention. All the attention went to Modern Family. It premiered the same time Modern Family did. It's sort of in the same vein way back when you had Mary Tyler Moore and Bob Newhart. Mary got all the attention. Bob got none. I think The Middle is an excellent comedy. I think it's held up extremely well. I think it's fresher than ever in season 8, and it's about time somebody recognized it.
I agree. It's doing well. And I agree that we do not give enough attention to The Middle. It's had a wonderful, wonderful run. My pick for last year's most underappreciated show, Eyewitness on USA Network. This is a program that had a wonderful look about it, great performances, a very daring plot, including two gay teenagers involved in Eyewitnesses to a Murder. I thought Julianne Nicholson gave one of the best performances of last season. I hope it's remembered at any nomination time. But despite the best efforts of USA, a lot of critics that did not catch the show. If they did, I think they would have liked it. And I also give credit to the cinematographer for doing a show which used black and white and sort of shades of black and white and color so beautifully from first episode to last. Captain Hardwick of Twilight fame did the first two episodes, got on its course. But I just thought that the performances from Julianne Nicholson to Gil Bell's on down was tremendous. And I really hope that USA Network will bring the show back with a different cast for a second season. I think it's stopped, by the way, Walt in Shades of Blue on NBC, which is coming back for a second season later this spring, is definitely a talent to watch. And finally, talent either in front or behind the camera that you're excited about, that you hope for the best this year.
I'm sorry, Simon, I missed that. What was the question?
Talent in front of or behind the camera that you want to see more of this year?
Talent that I want to see more of?
Yeah, more of either in front of or behind the camera.
You know who I'm really intrigued with? I'm sounding repetitive. I think the standout this season in terms of talent is Milo Ventimiglia on This Is Us. I would like to see more of him in other projects. I think I don't think he's getting the attention he deserves for that show. You know, the award seasons are coming and nominations are coming out. I think the guy has had a stellar career. He's done some excellent work. You know, he had a small part on the Gilmore Girls revival on Netflix. I think he's done outstanding work.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And there's somebody else involved with This Is Up. I think you'll like this, that I picked for my talent I want to see more of, and that's Sterling K. Brown. I thought it was absolutely fantastic, both on This Is Us and also on his award-winning performance as Christopher Darden on American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Without a doubt.
And I can't. That's my pick in front of the camera. And behind the camera, two people off the bat. I want to see more of Noah Hawley, who did Fargo, and he's working on Legion, the new FX series that premieres in February. I've heard a lot of good things about that. I am really excited. He's working on a bunch of other projects for FX, too. Including a long-awaited adaptation of Cat's Cradle, which I think will be a very interesting series based on the Kurt Vonnegut novel for FX. And the other person I'm looking forward to seeing – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I'm excited that Ken Olin is back, you know, behind the scenes on This Is Us. That makes good television.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. The more I watch This Is Us, the more I'm really excited by how they do the show, the way it works, it constantly keeps you guessing, but guessing in a good way, a way that, that gets you involved and keeps you involved. And another person behind the camera I definitely want to see more of, and I'm very excited that we will start to see him, is Neil Gaiman. For the first time, a Neil Gaiman project will come to television, a series that's American Gods coming up on Starz, produced with Lionsgate. I'm really curious to see what happens with him because he's involved with that series, and I'd love to see, here's my big wish, that somebody makes Sandman an anthology series for television. That property has been crying for decades to become a really good series, and if Gaiman can be behind it, and maybe this American Gods show, with, I should say Fremantle Media, is working with on American Gods, I think that that might just happen.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you on that, absolutely, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. It's been an interesting season so far. There's been some very good stuff, and there's been stuff that has not worked. And, you know, more as always, there are more failures than new hits, but there's some good stuff out there, and there's a lot of TV to watch.
Yeah, and the wish, I think, for both of us, Mark, is that that opens up more opportunities for a lot more really great quality stuff. And I'm also
without
going
a doubt.
For a lot of diversity, too. We just saw some major leaps in diversity this year, and I'm looking forward to hopefully a lot more, especially with the development post-Oscars last year of all these groups that are trying to bring more women, people of color, women of color, into the medium. If you want to catch the Programming Insider in action, check him out on the web, programminginsider.com. It's programminginsider.com. I promise you it's great reading. And get involved, including his trivia question. It's really, really marvelous. Mark, thank you again for joining us. A pleasure to start a new year with you. Best to you, your family, your colleagues, and all of us for some wonderful viewing this year and beyond.
And the same to you, Simon. Have a good one.
You too. All the greatest, Mark. Take care. Mark Berman, Editor-in-Chief of the Programming Insider, joining me here in New York. When we come back, I'll have a comment about the first big controversy of television 2017, 80s Generation KKK. And pay attention to this one. There's a number of interested parties that really, really should pay attention to what we're about to talk about. And we will do that after we pause, after the top of the hour, for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, where there's 25 million listeners around the world every month, and growing. It's your home for What's the Buzz NYC. Check out Lanza Barter's program. It's all about great buzz. You can catch it every week, various times, only on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, that's the BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com, and this program and others are also available 24/7 at Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. Welcome back to Tomorrow Be Televised, first episode of 2017, and welcome aboard to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment on our upcoming segment, please give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And now, a comment. Believe it or not, we already have our first big controversy of 2017, and it's about a program that was supposed to go on the air 1 week from tonight on A&E. It's called Generation KKK. It's from a production company that measures in unscripted television. It's called This Is Just a Test. Probably one of their most popular shows is I Am Jazz, a wonderful program about a transgender teenager on TLC. I want you to listen very carefully to the following comment that A&E came out with a press release when they announced this show back on December 18th, the week of Christmas. It comes from Rob Sherlow, who is the head of A&E and Lifetime. Really pay attention. Don't read into it. Just pay attention to what you're about to hear. This series gives viewers an unprecedented look at what it's like to be born into hate. Our producers guarded access to Klan families, allowing for full immersion into this secret world and its impact on the next generation. Generation KKK brings viewers inside the places where hatred and prejudice are born and bred and carried forward or not. And that in a nutshell is what Generation KKK is all about. And that's what A&E showcased only by way of a press release, released the week of Christmas. And it didn't take long for social media to react, at least some quarters of it, and react big to this way. How dare you, A&E, embrace the KKK? How dare you, A&E, give the KKK a platform? How dare you, A&E, promote hatred through presenting this program? All over the place. And these are people that frankly did not see the program, just saw this press release, and just jumped to conclusions and went way off base doing it. But there it was, social media all over, plus a few celebrities like Ellen Pompeo, the co-star of Grey's Anatomy on A&E, weighing in as well along the same line. Well, near the end of the week, A&E did something about it. They came out with a second press release saying, okay, since you've got all this brouhaha about the title, we're changing the title from Generation KKK to Escaping the KKK. In addition to having the Anti-Defamation League, which was already involved in endorsing the show, we have another endorser of the show, the respected group Color of Change. And then 24 hours later, on Christmas Eve Day, A&E decided, again with a press release, third one in a week, no show. Guess what? We have learned that the producers paid some of the participants in this program. Maybe nominally, not a lot, but they did. And it's against our policy. And that's it. No more controversy. Show is over. Bye. But this past week, that wasn't enough. On comes lawyers representing some of the people that were represented from the Klan on this program. And they said, guess what? It's even worse than that. In fact, some of the scenes in this program were staged. Not just people getting money, but they were staged. And that got, this is just to test people who have been silent all throughout this controversy, hadn't spoken up before, to finally speak up in their own press release statement to say, we take this matter very seriously. We don't think it happened. You have to find out who the people are that are making these allegations. We don't buy it, but we'll investigate. So will A&E, and we'll get to the bottom of this. And that's where we stand. And along with all of that, there have been reports by Daniel Feinberg, one of the reviewers of the Hollywood Report, and others, who have seen Generation KKK and say, you know what? This show is worth watching. It's worth providing a forum to. It is an eye-opener. And we should have the opportunity, the right to see it. And that's where we stand with this controversy. And there is talk also that this is just a test, is trying to win back the rights from A&E so that they can sell it to somebody else. There was also talk beforehand that A&E was so high in this program, they were already out to endorse the second season. That's a lot. So here's the comment, and I'll break it down. Part one, A&E should not have come out with just a press release. They should have put together a conference call or a press conference here in New York or somewhere with reporters, with the producers at their side, with the Anti-Defamation League at their side, to go over with a fine-tooth comb this program, what it was out to do and what it was not out to do. And maybe, just maybe, if they had done so, the social media reaction that followed would have been muted. Because there would have been no doubt left in anybody's mind about what this show is about. And I'm very clear from the comments that Rob Chernow put in that first press release that this show was not an embracing of KKK or of hate groups, et cetera, et cetera. Part two, to the social media crowd. How can you infer from what the A&E president said in that release that the Anti-Defamation League was supporting this program, that a network was endorsing this group? How can you infer that? I think the people who put their social media together without thinking should be ashamed of themselves, because they went way off base and way out of whack and wasn't reasoned and just let their preconceived notion, they're already always listening, using my landmark language, already always listening of what the situation could have been about, to run rampant. People need to speak up sooner. When A&E came out with that third press release that we are taking the show off the air, this is just a test to come up sooner to say, hey, let's defend ourselves. Let's give our side of the story. They had to wait until lawyers from the Klan spoke up in Variety and other places before they spoke up. This is a really shameful situation, folks. Very shameful. And I go back to A&E. If they had done a press conference or a conference call that week of Christmas, I have a strong suspicion that a lot of the social media outrage would not have been outrage, because everyone would have known, and reporters like yours truly would have been able to really explore what this show was all about and not all about. and I think that was a fatal mistake. And I hope this has served a lesson to the social media world that before you go cat opt on a subject like this, see the show. See the program. When it is a controversial show by nature, see the program. Then make up your mind and say something. Don't just follow the mass. And finally, we need some answers very quickly about whether or not people were paid for the access and how much they were paid. And we need to get this whole situation with the staging out of the way. And if this is an allegation that is unproven by the lawyers of the Klan, they need to be put to account. And if it isn't, then the production company, this is just a test, needs to put itself into account. The more I look into this situation, the more I think, I really hope at some point we see this program so that ultimately we, the public, should judge whether it's worth it, whether it embraces or endorses or shows, as some people said, an eye-opening way, what the Ku Klux Klan is about. And more importantly, what any hate groups are doing to intervene with people involved with the Klan and try to transform them into another way of life, another way of being. I would love to hear what you think about this. Incidentally, tomorrow I am going to email This Is Just a Test, and we would like to invite them to be on this program. Also invite A&E too, because we need to get some answers here. The shame of it is, or as Rod Sterling once said in an episode, the pity of it is that we will not see this show to begin with unless this whole drama is resolved. And I hope it's resolved sooner the better. Because I have this hunch that Generation KKK should be seen. And we should judge it. Like any other controversial program, before we run rampant, before we make up our minds, let's first see the show. Again, I'd like to hear what you think. I'd love to hear your emails. I'd like to hear your Facebook notes, your tweets. Let them rip. And if you don't let them rip, do your homework about the situation, okay? Please do it. And again, you can reach me at SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can reach me on my Facebook page. Reach me on my Twitter hashtag, UBTSimonTWBT. I'd really love to hear what you think. And I welcome any opinion on this. I really hope that, and I appreciate all of you listening to what we're saying about this. It really is something. Now let's move on to something brighter. Some first thoughts about 2017 and where this year will take us in television. As I just mentioned with Mark Berman this past half hour, the things that really struck me about past year of television was the fact that we now have a huge number of people seeing television through smart TV sets and smart devices. 50% at least, half the American public now has a smart TV set or smart TV device. And I think it's very interesting that Amazon TV comes out with the news that their Fire TV devices now will be incorporated into TV sets starting this spring. And it's very clear to me that this is how people are watching Netflix. These are people watching Hulu and Amazon and Crackle and Full Screen and CISO and CBS All Access, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if that's the case, I think we have yet to see peak TV. I think we will see more scripted shows. I'm a little more optimistic than Mark because, as I mentioned before, if we have libraries with thousands of titles or Audible.com, our sponsor, has 180,000 titles to choose from any one time, maybe we'll end up being very choosy. But here's the great thing. The more opportunities we get, the more diversity and the more unique programming we'll get too. And I really think we're going to see that happen this year. There's a lot of interesting TV that's been announced, and some of it hasn't. They're very excited about watching. But something else I think is very important, too. I think we're going to start to see whether we become an interactive, transactional universe. You look at Apple TV. A year ago, it had 1,000 apps. It starts this year about 9,000, quarter of them games. But you also can do Twitter on Apple TV. You can order pizza through Papa John's and sports and entertainment tickets through StubHub. You can watch The Film Detective. If you have Amazon, you can read e-books. You can do things with Alexa or with Apple TV with Siri. You can do Orbit and TripAdvisor on the television set. You can do Airbnb on the TV set. And most recently with Apple TV, you can now order any Amazon merchandise, any, if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, through your television set. Let's see if the smart TV universe follows suit in a big way. If they do, I think this could be the beginning of a major consumer shift where we become a transactional interactive society. And let's see also if we become more interactive in our programming, where at given times in the show, you can dictate which way the show goes. There's an interesting project called Echo. It used to be called Interlude. And there's some big players involved as investors, Sony, Samsung, MGM. And they're now working on live television shows, including a revival of The Twilight Zone, an adaptation by MGM of their famous feature War Games with Ali Sheedy and Matthew Broderick, where at various points in the program, you get a chance to remote control or your smartphone tablet to dictate which way the picture goes. Now, they're currently doing this on Facebook and other social media. I talked with one of Echo's key executives at the TV Tomorrow show last month here in New York, and he made it clear this is going to television this year, certainly on Samsung smart TV sets. But I'm curious whether other people are going to make the move too. I'm also curious to see whether we see the touchscreen television, the idea of actually taking our fingers right at the television set and manipulating a smartphone or tablet app that way, whether that takes off. If TouchJet Wave, whose CEO, Helen Thomas, was on this program a few weeks ago, if that takes off, a venture, by the way, that people crowdfunded to the tune of about $800,000 a year ago, whether that takes off, will other people, will all the TV makers follow suit? And then there is virtual and augmented reality. And we're going to see some new ways that happens in the next couple of days in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show. But I'm very curious whether we will see virtual and augmented reality become something on the TV set. I will bet you it does. That yes, you can carry virtual reality programming on the TV set without using those goggles and that headgear and the glasses or using a mobile device like Google Cardboard. I really hope so, because it would be a shame to put all the chips on one way to get VR, AR. And I was very heartened by the fact that Google Chromecast is working on a VR on the television set where you would not need headgear. I've seen what Little Star has done over the last year. It's terrific programming. I know some people like to poo-poo it because, oh, it's not VR because it's not using a headgear or a helmet, et cetera, et cetera. But it still is programming you interact with because you swipe the Apple remote or you use Siri to command which way it goes. I think when all is said and done, we will see the beginning of a virtual reality, augmented reality universe on television. And goodness knows where that will go too. So overall, I am really excited about the world of television. I had to be optimist by nature, frankly. And if we can have a universe with 300, 400, 455 programs of scripted television, not to mention all those unscripted shows and other formats, game shows, talk shows, etc., and we can have an Apple TV with 9,000 apps, and an Amazon Fire, a Roku, a Google Chromecast with hundreds of thousands of apps. And if the public is willing, which is the true bottom line, stand by for another exciting year of a medium that has a fantastic future. Only if we embrace that future and we work very, very well to make that future real. I want to thank all my guests for being here on our first episode of Tomorrow Be Televised. And before we go, I want to just share one other thing. Last Friday, we were supposed to have our final episode of 2016. We didn't have it. If you're one of those folks who tuned in and wondered what the heck happened, Well, the what the heck happened was on my end, not on Blog Talk Radio's end. To put it mildly, our smartphone device that we use to get this show to you, first to Blog Talk and then to you, conked out. Well, I happened to check it over yesterday with the folks at Verizon near my neighborhood. We got it straightened out, and that's why we started our 2017 schedule on time. As we say from time to time on this program, the Internet is an incredible communications tool, and it can be a very fragile tool. And sometimes we get the fragility in all sorts of ways. And if we do, please bear with us. We appreciate it. And I really invite you to be on the journey with me. If this is your first time listening to the show, I hope you make us a regular feature of your listening on Mondays, on Fridays, and other days too. If you like what we do, please tell a friend and get involved with the show. We want to hear you. We want to hear your thoughts about television, where it's at, where it's going. We want to hear you talk to our guests and let them know what you think. Let them know your reaction. Let them know your appreciation and your consideration. And they'll respond in kind. This is a two-way interactive program. We are live, and we give you an opportunity every week to hear the people that make this medium go. So take advantage of it, and tell your friends to do so, too. Coming up this Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, Tom Zanocki, the executive producer of Fox's new series Star, which makes the picture premiere tomorrow night from the creators of Empire. And then next Monday on the program, we will have, first up, from Beyond, the new supernatural drama that premiered on Freeform last night, Peter, executive producer, Adam Nussdorf. And then Lloyd Clark, the director of product management for Roku. We'll get his post-CES thoughts on where smart TV devices are going, especially his device. And finally, coming up a week from tomorrow, our lead guest will be from the new Netflix revival of One Day at a Time with Norman Lear, executive producers Gloria Calderon-Kellett and Mike Royce. Exclusive interviews, one and all, right here next Wednesday, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode, or you want to catch up on episodes we've done both last year and earlier, give us a run on our homepage. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember that both of our episodes are also available on podcasts. You can download them to your smartphone or tablet. Take us out to go anytime you like. And you can find them at iTunes.com. That's iTunes.com. And many of our episodes from last year are also available on the Apple TV iTunes podcast app. You'll find other Blog Talk Radio shows that way as well. And remember, you can also check me out starting next Monday here in the New York area on BK Live, the popular Monday through Thursday talk variety program on all things Brooklyn and beyond. It's on from noon to 1 o'clock on Brick TV. That's Brick TV. It's available throughout New York City on Verizon Fios, throughout Brooklyn, Manhattan on Charter Spectrum, and throughout Brooklyn as well on RCN and Altice, formerly Cablevision Systems. Plus, all the Tomorrow Televised segments and other BK Live segments as well are posted a day or two later at youtube.com/BrickTV. It's youtube.com/BrickTV. Also, check out my Tomorrow Televised columns. They're posted regularly at MediaVillage.com, the wonderful media analysis and commentary site. That's MediaVillage.com. You'll also find wonderful columns by some of our favorite guests like Jack Myers and Stuart Elliott, and Ed Martin, and others as well. Check out MediaVillage.com. I think you'll be glad you did. Remember, you can find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. And remember, check me out with an email. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our guest today? What's your thoughts about where TV's at and where it's going? What do you hope will be the best and worst stuff going on in 2017? Do you have a best and worst in 2016 too? Love to hear. SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. Remember, that's how you get involved in our Class 3 Question of the Week for prizes. And it's also your way to be involved in a regular feature we do called The Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention, is, in your mind, underappreciated? Well, let me know. If we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, get the credit. SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. We love hearing what you have to say, so please go ahead and say it. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. The creator of this very enterprise is Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon. Live Company. Remember, for a free audio book and 30-day trial, go to audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. audible.com, a sound investment from Amazon. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. For all of us at Blog Talk Radio, have a great start to your new year. We'll be back here on Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Join us then, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Be safe and be great out there. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.